Hey everyone, it's Julie here from Christy, Marie, and Julie. Just a little heads up of what's happening on the show today. We're going to talk about all the isms. Sexism, ageism, monogamism, polyamorism, or polyamorism. Not aneurysm, that's not a good one, but that might be talked about too. So enjoy the show. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christy, Marie, and Julie. And you said beforehand, you said, I have a little joke we can start off with, which I'm open for.
Oh, now you put me on the spot.
No way, huh? Go ahead, tell me. Okay.
It wasn't really a joke. Here's what I was going to do. I was going to say, hello, Julie. How are you?
I'm fine, Christine. How are you?
I was going to go, and I was going to say, Julie, it's that time of the year,
Yes, and, for my annual flow. No,
annual flow.
Go for it.
And I said it's that time of the year, and I'm thinking about recipes and stuff. Uh-huh. Thinking about the kind of cookie recipe that I'm going to make for the jolly old fat man. And my joke was, and I'm going to make some for Santa Claus too.
Ah, ba bum bum. That was beautiful. I love it.
Except that you stepped all over it.
I'm sorry. What kind of cookie would it have been?
Does it matter?
It does.
Snickerdoodles.
Because you like those dogs anyway. Those snickerdoodle dogs or whatever they're called.
Cockapoodles.
Well, it's so funny because during this time of year, my expectations never match what I want. And if I get my expectations met, it's never the feeling I'm desiring. I think of, what do they call it? Like, oh, plum drops and Google bums buns are, what's that song go? Everything about Christmas.
Raindrops on roses
gumdrops and...
Gumdrops and...
Not that song. Don't think of Sound of Music. Okay. Think more... like the Nutcracker or something holiday, in England and the mother country.
Figgy pudding.
I
have no idea.
I don't know either, but
this.
I think of cookie exchanges. I think of, which I've never done. And I think of
building. I think we've participated in a couple in our day.
Yes. And then I think of, houses made out of graham crackers and gingerbread homes. And I, these are things I think of and how wonderful the holiday is. Mm-hmm. And then the truth is I partake in some of it. And the next day I feel my GI tracts all messed up and I feel bloated and I feel tired. And I feel like I've burned a lot of calories on nothing or spent a lot of energy and not gotten anything done.
Spent a lot of money on stuff.
Oh, money.
And it's kind of just, you're supposed to be feeling so generous and happy.
Yeah.
And
you're left feeling
crisp outside with your nose pressed to the window, looking at the trains and all that fun stuff. I don't know. I mean, like my aunt out in California, she really literally begins shutting down around Thanksgiving.
Right.
Her personality, which is usually gregarious. And I really understand that.
Yeah.
And it's not anything that I can pinpoint. It is like a memory.
Mm-hmm.
There's some sort of kind of memory about it.
Right.
That you can say maybe, well, with so many high expectations, but not necessarily for me. It is doing a lot of stuff with very little reward to it.
That's it. Yeah.
And
for me, it's hope of reward or hope that it's a fun time. But,
I bought two little pairs of slippers. They're all, dressed up and got a little ribbon on them and stuff.
Yeah.
And I've been looking for a place to give them to.
Right.
Because usually we have, toys for tots here at the Shell station and stuff. And they didn't have it this year. And then I found a place in Oregon, but that says just coats and mittens and scarves and hats.
Right.
So it's all outerwear. So I'm like, well, what am I going to do with the, and maybe I'll just, give it to Goodwill or, I don't really know.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of lost, and nobody wants, I said to my aunt, you know, would you like something, you know, for Christmas? Don't give me any food.
Yeah.
I don't want
any food.
I don't want any food. I don't want anything left over.
Yeah.
I don't want anything to remind me.
Yes.
You know, of.
And I understand that, but I hate that because the truth is I want to give everybody food because it means that they can eat it. And then it's out of their lives. I'm not contributing to their clutter in their own household, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of like how I've always felt. Unless you give me something very specific that you want. It's like, yeah, I want these. Oh, great. I can get you those. That's awesome. Yeah. You know?
Like I told my aunt, I go, I want Bert's bees for my birthday. And she immediately started making fun of me.
Yeah,
what the hell's a Bert's bees? I don't know, you know? And I go, well, then just get me a gift certificate, you know?
But from the local Walgreens.
and looked it up, and she went, well, I'll be. There's actually a Burt's Bees. I go,
and
yes.
And there's a lot of them. They had a whole wall of Burt's Bees at Walgreens. And she was shocked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She thinks she knows everything.
Yes. Yeah, and she does know everything in her life. that's what counts for her, right? She has mastered her life.
I'm an enamored of her.
Yeah.
She's like 86 or 87. She lives alone.
Uh-huh.
She's been a widow for a couple of decades at least,
right,
that I know of. And so she lives in California, in a suburb of LA, and in a 55 plus, you know, kind of mobile home park.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but she's like saying, "Hey, you know what? I'm kind of getting ready," and she doesn't slow down. She bikes everywhere.
Right.
She wears overalls.
She has her Harley, right?
Bib overalls, and she got a tattoo that says "Born to Run" on it. You know,
she had her chaps.
But she's just this sprightly person,
right?
But she said, you know, I just would like. Like something in her house went bad. I don't know what it was. But then she got this in her craw that, hey, I'd like to not have to pay for that when that goes down. So she said she started to look for apartments.
Yes.
And she was shocked at like a one bedroom apartment in a suburb of LA was it like 1400?
Yeah. Yes.
And she was just shocked at that.
Right.
And it was just not worth it to her.
Right.
So she's, you know, sticking by her, but
and she was highly disappointed in that. She was
ready to go.
What in the world? Because I think I don't know what her budget's like. You know that there are topics that are off topic.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to talk about a budget.
Except they're called off topic. No, off hands. No, hands off. That's it. The hands off. There are topics that are hands off, you know, and that's my double D's right here. They're hands off.
It just reminds me, though, last week you were saying, and this is 150 miles as the bird's eye. I'm like, I'm not sure what she's saying, but I'm sure she knows what she's talking about. I'm not gonna say anything. And she said it again. I go, Joe, are you sure it's 150 miles as the bird's eye? Just, I don't know, maybe it's as the crow flies? I don't know. Yes, Jillian.
That's it. As the crow flies. As the crow flies.
So,
there you go.
One of your little Julie-isms.
I don't understand how my brain works sometimes. It's not intentional, but I'm very good at multiple choice tests. I'm really good at those. But just picking stuff out of the blue sky or out of the air.
Just out of the blue sky?
Out of the sky.
Could it be the sky blue? just kidding.
Nothing always rings completely correct. And I want people to cut me some slack on that.
Yeah. Because well, I'll never forget the one when we were on the radio and you said, I'm tired of just putting the chicken before the horse. I'm like, what?
Well, that horse likes chicken, so that's what it's supposed to be. you know, talking about Aunt Roseanne and
allegedly, her name.
Yeah, we don't know who she really is. She may not be your aunt. No, she definitely. Mm-hmm. But you wonder how she, you know, she has topics that are definitely hands off, and age is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, age is. I've been totally decimated by her.
Yeah.
She'll be telling me about, she's been like 25 years sober in AA. She's a mentor or whatever. And she'll tell me some stories sometimes anonymously. She won't tell me about any names, but I will as a therapist, and I'm curious, and I'll ask, well, how old is this person? What do you care? What does that matter? Just like, I mean, with that time.
It matters a lot.
Well, because I'm wondering where she is in the family dynamic. Yeah. And, you know.
And a 25-year-old is going to be different than a 55 or a 75.
Right.
Just, I'm sorry. I know how old I am. And in my 40s, my birthday's coming up. I'm getting closer to
Saturday.
That. Yeah. And I feel, here's what I do. I feel different than I did when I was in my 20s. Because when I was in my 20s, I felt really hopeful. Like there was 100% no doubt I would be, you know, I'd have this, the whole thing, and a billionaire by the time I'm this age. Mm-hmm. You just feel so confident that mm-hmm. these are going to take place.
Hopeful, confident.
Yeah.
It's
not even hopeful. It's not even hope. It's just, you just like, I just like got all that in a bag of chips, right? You can graduate from college, get your job, stay there, do this. And it all just happens and unfolds for you so perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though at my age, I feel young and youthful in my brain, like I do, even though, you know, mom calls it Lyme disease brain. And that drives me crazy, but I humor you.
And you don't drive me crazy?
I know I drive you totally crazy. I know I do. We're a good pair. We drive each other perfectly crazy.
Gray Gardens.
Yes. Exactly. I think knowing someone in someone's age tells you a lot about who they are. Or at least it gives you more information.
100%.
I mean, also with a millennial, you know, a millennial thinks differently than I think. I mean, in the sense of this, they've never had to deal with HIV and AIDS as a death warrant.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even think about it. Mm-mm. That, wait, you can die from HIV and you could die from that. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, it was a death warrant. I mean, mm-hmm. you got HIV, you were dying. Mm-hmm. They have never felt that way.
And they have never felt the need to say that they don't have herpes either.
No. I'm sure every one of them does. and she just came out, my daughter's concerned because I'm giving birth. And by the way, you know, and because I have, you know,
herpes.
And I'm like, oh, hello. Mm-hmm. That may be, you know, I would never have said that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if somebody asked me, I don't think but it's not even a thing.
No, it's not a thing. They say, like, if you have a big audience, you can say, how do you hear of herpes? If one person dares to put their hand up, then everybody puts their hand up. Because that's how it is.
Yeah.
I was just listening to, I don't know, one of the news stations, and they were saying, in terms of millennials, they were saying, oh, you know, the millennials, they're so different than the rest of us. You know, we call them snowflakes.
Right.
You know, and now they're up in arms because they say that gives them a mental health issue because it hurts their mental health.
Yeah. That's so funny. I don't know if that's true or not.
It's the truth. Yeah. I actually look it up on
No,
the
I believe
news.
Somebody said that. Is their mental health that fragile?
That's what I'm thinking. It's like they have a fragile mental health picture, you know. I mean,
or they expect really good mental health all the time.
Yeah,
we had to really work for it.
Yeah, we had to work for
it. I mean,
because we, you know, our parents were like, I'll give you something.
Because you had to work for it, I then worked for it.
Yeah.
Because deep down, I realized that life was cruel.
Yeah.
And you better come up with some good belief systems mm-hmm. to maneuver your way through this world.
Yes.
And when you listen to millennial podcasts, it's like they feel empowered to change the world.
One Uber at a time.
Yes.
One Bitcoin and one Uber at a time.
Well, I'm only here and we're going to do retirement differently. I'm like, well, great, but not until after we're all dead, please, because we need you to contribute as much as possible to the Social Security position. Like, oh, that's right. That's how it's all set up.
So yep. So you get a 2-bedroom condo, you rent out a room.
Yes.
You use your car to drive everybody on an Uber or a Lyft.
Yeah. Or then you hire someone younger to drive your car. You know, and then all of a sudden, every part of your life is a hustle, a side hustle.
Absolutely.
And then you go, wow, this is awesome.
And then you still have to work, you know, be a body somewhere.
Right. Exactly. I mean, I still think about having, you know, renting out a couple of rooms in our house.
Yeah.
And then you go, Because I just think those things can go south fast.
If I was going to do that, I would do it to, like that one woman in Northeast. She rented it out to one of those Ethiopians that won the lottery.
Yeah.
You know, and, yeah. and they said, hey, come and live with us while you
That's awesome. How did they get hooked up like that?
Huh?
How'd that all happen?
Well, no, you told me about it. This was years ago.
I think. I didn't know it was an Airbnb situation, but I like that part of the story.
Well, I don't know if it was Airbnb either, but I mean, truly Airbnb.
No, but yes, he won the lottery, which is not, by the way, a real lottery. It's like takes a lot of work. Got to fill a lot of paperwork. Got to get a lot of references. Got to, you know, come back with a clean bill of health, a clean check out, you know, and being vetted completely. Mm-hmm. And then you get to be in the lottery pool. Mm-hmm. And then if you didn't fill out everything correctly or somebody forgot to sign something.
Yeah, you missed dotting an I or crossing a T.
Yep. And so, and he was living in Maine. And I think it was somehow she was a person. I don't know how they connected, but something like that. Mm-hmm. I'll go with Airbnb. That makes total sense to me.
No, it wasn't Airbnb. Yeah. I don't know how, but that's what I would do, though.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I was
going to
rent a room out.
Because you'd feel like you were giving something back.
Doing really something good. Yeah.
Well, the other day I was walking, and that's so not true. I was not walking the other day. Down the road. I was driving and because it's colder. I'm not walking. I'll go to the gym and walk. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to walk down the middle of the road. But I'm in the driving in the country and I see this guy with a big backpack, all dressed warm, but like hippie warm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Not I'm climbing Mount Everest warm. Mm-hmm. So it's not North Gear mm-hmm. stuff. It's probably Salvation Army stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. But he looked like his goal was to backpack and see the world.
Mm, you had the whole story.
I had the whole story. Just do you ever do that? Do you ever do that?
See 100%.
And you go, I know his story.
100%. I do it all the time.
And it would be wrong if that story did not match that person. Like, I can't really find out.
And then when you're mad. He's lying to us because it doesn't fit our story.
Yeah. It's like when you meet somebody, you go, I heard your voice on the radio. And I think you've stolen it from somebody else's face because it doesn't match. You do not look like the person I hear on the radio. So please help me find that person. So, yeah. And I just thought to myself, I know this guy. I know who this person is. And, but now he could just be, you know, but he was walking north. And I thought that was a bad decision at this stage in his life. Like, it's December.
He should be walking south.
He should be walking south, dude.
So how old was he?
I mean, he was all bearded up, which adds about 10 to 15 years of a man's life.
So you saw a hitchhiker.
No, he wasn't hitchhiking.
Just walker. Just a walking dude.
He was a walking dude. He was like that kung fu dude, whatever his name is. Or he was also like the Hulk. Both of those people, you know, they took the same path, but different styles, I should say.
Okay.
You know.
Clothing styles?
Clothing styles. I think personality styles. Kung Fu guy. I don't know. If someone hurts him, he goes into a meditative state, you know. And maybe he might have to kick somebody in the balls or something like that. I don't know. But, you know, Bruce Bannon, he does everything not to get angry. Because if he gets angry,
he goes green.
He goes green.
That's right.
And the beast is let out. And, like, he may just destroy that person and then the whole town around it. And
his wardrobe.
Yes.
And then by the time he comes back down, he's got to have a seamstress seams all that up and everything.
Which I always thought was very bizarre.
Yeah. Like, don't ask
every
questions.
Time,
don't ask,
every
don't
time
tell.
The same outfit gets threaded.
Yeah.
Totally shredded up, and then what do you do when you're when you're hitchhiking? Mm-hmm. You know,
one interesting thing that this week Julie saw, and we're driving down the street, and there's this guy. He's all dressed in real big warmth. I mean, big hat with the flaps and everything, and he's holding a chainsaw.
Yes,
and we look into this, you know, field. And there's nothing but about like 40 trees down and in lungs. And I'm like, oh, my God, this little guy, little man with this little chainsaw. And there's at least 40 trees cut down. So
his name is Beaver Dan.
Yeah, we put on our brakes, we turn around, and we pull up next to him.
Yeah.
And Julie goes, I gotta go talk to him, and I go, yeah, but don't scare him because he's so got all these things on. I'm sure he can't hear us because he's got the ear flaps and everything. And so I see Julie.
Were you concerned with my health or his health?
I didn't think I was concerned that you were going to scare him, and he had that big chainsaw.
Right.
In his hand, and he's like, whoa, yeah. And dropped, you know, throw the chainsaw up in the air, and
yeah.
Who knows what would happen.
It'd be awful.
So you go up and you start talking to him, hey, sir, and he wanted to know your name, and you right. told him your name, and he was to go, and you say, hey, do you do this for a living? Because that's a lot of trees you've cut down. And he goes,
So I could use your services. I just wasn't going there for some random reason. Let me bug a part of this dude at work.
Well, he wasn't. He's just like a little guy.
Yeah.
And then he goes to you. You this is what you know. You told me because I couldn't hear what he was saying. But you go, I'm 86 years old, and I'm too old to be doing this. And you just got all these trees down.
Like, sir, stop.
Stop. You got.
My gosh, wouldn't it be weird, though, if it took him like 86 years to get this done? Because I'm 86 years old now, people. I am definitely too old for this. When will this stop?
The reason you stopped is because, yeah, you know, we got a new truck.
Yes.
And when Dad brings it, and because it's a sleeper, it's taller than our
right.
our other truck. And so when Dad brings it home on the weekends, he parks it on the side of the house.
Right.
And now it has some tree limbs that it touches, whereas the other one didn't.
Right.
And so Dad had the idea, because we have a chainsaw, and Dad had the idea that he was going to put his chainsaw on a large like broomstick or something and kind of like and then tape that broomstick to another broomstick and then be wielding this chainsaw
right.
up and kind of like, you know, jumping up and down.
Right.
And we decided no.
No more, yes.
Yeah, we decided that.
Oh, hell no, not today.
Yeah, we decided that's not in the safety code.
Right,
know?
Right, exactly.
So when we saw this guy, like, hey, old dude, you know, mm-hmm. just come on over. We'll give you a ride. Bring your chainsaw. And just cut a few of these things up because, hell no, I'm 86 years yeah. old and I don't do this. I'm only doing this for my sister because she retired and I don't know what his story was. But
yeah. And she worked at, you know, at the Village Bakery and they don't pay very much. So I figured I should help her get these trees down.
Yeah.
Because they have to come down. She bought this little house for herself. I thought that was really sweet.
Yeah.
And, I guess he probably was sitting on $1 million at the bank. I'm like, dude, just go ahead and pay someone to take those trees down. You know? No.
I just thought it was funny, though, because we were like, come on over to our house.
Yeah, come over.
Not
save
too far
my
away.
Dad, who's 20 years younger than you, from doing this, please.
Whose idea was like to throw the chainsaw up.
Exactly.
And,
or attach the chainsaw to a long
that's right.
Pole.
Yeah.
Start the chainsaw, attach yeah. it to a long pole.
And if the pole wasn't long enough, tape another pole to
yes.
the pole.
So yes,
it was scary.
He was using his man brain because he had a problem,
mm-hmm.
and legitimately he could fix the problem. But at some point, you've got to go. For every step you have to take to fix a problem, you're adding a degree of danger.
Yes,
and I think for men, that degree of danger is a little bit invigorating. And for the women around them going, mm-hmm. this is going to turn out really bad.
Yeah, because they know. They're just pretty much idiots.
Right. And yet, at some point.
I shouldn't have said that.
No,
really.
But at some point, we have to call it.
Yeah, I do.
And sometimes I don't. Sometimes, like, if I'm with Doug, I'm just like, you know, it's your life. Dude, mm-hmm. you got to do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes if it impacts me in some way.
Yeah, then you call it.
I'm calling it. Yeah. And he may or may not listen to me. And I just say, you know, God, I'm dying today. And if it gets really bad, I say, if you effing kill me today, I'm going to haunt you so bad. He goes, we're not going to die. I'm like, whatever. And that usually means he has to get into a drag race sometimes
mm-hmm.
that literally lasts maybe 3 to 4 seconds,
mm-hmm.
you know, but that's mm-hmm. his adrenaline
mm-hmm.
junkie stuff.
I like the fact that with Doug, like we had snow yesterday.
Yes.
And he's been having to go into work earlier because one of his employees, you know, put the early shift. So he's actually has to leave early. And so therefore we get the early phone call now. And it was like, man, Dixon's full of snow.
Yeah.
And people are driving like insane.
So fast.
And then he adds, and I'm purposely straddling both lanes, going very slow to slow the traffic down. Of course you are. You're that guy.
You're so brilliant.
You're that guy. You're the one that thinks that you know that everybody's going too fast, and it's your job
to your
slow
job.
Everybody that's down. Right. Yeah, that's who you are.
Mm-hmm. That's part of him. That's not the whole part, thank God.
No, the other part is I'm going to order a hamburger from Wendy's, and if I don't get it fast enough, I'm going to demand that you pay for it. And well, I get it for free.
I called Doug.
I'm going to do something else. And I'm going to send it back to have you do something better to it. And of course, the guy that's in the back going, oh, yes, sir, I'd be happy to redo something to your hamburger.
Yep.
Of course, but he's that guy.
Well,
go ahead and defend him now.
No, I'm going to say he's like about 4 parts vinegar, 2 parts sugar, and then it's 4, 5, 6, and 4 parts
ayahuasca.
There you go. That I have to take.
Ayahuasca, for sure. It makes you have hallucinations.
That's right. Or he's more like the sun because everything has to revolve around him.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
Oh, you know, speaking of the sun and old people, I want to talk about that too. Couple things. One thing I want to talk about, and maybe you want to talk about this because you brought it to my attention. You hustled me into your room right away. You said, come in there now. You've got to see this. And can you rewind this?
Yeah.
And it's so funny.
Because I'm so technologically savvy.
Well, and
rewind this, Julie. You've got to see it.
And what it was a commercial for cellular.
Consumer cellular. And it was, which is weird because I had just pulled this advertisement out of the newspaper for Consumer Cellular.
And I hope this commercial makes you not want to buy.
It did.
Yeah.
It totally did.
I will be damned if I go there.
It totally did, Joe.
I will not surrender my life to this.
Yeah. And here I'm like, oh, I love Consumer Cellular.
Yeah.
I can get me a little flip phone.
Yeah.
I can have the big print.
Yeah.
I can do all this stuff. And it's like $19 a month. And
yeah.
I'm like, this is awesome.
Right.
And then I saw this commercial.
Yes. And the commercial is just a lot of, not like old people, like in their 70s or 80s and 90s. It was more like, I would think, just like barely touching the AARP mode.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like late 50s, maybe mid 60s, mm-hmm. maybe early 70s, maybe.
I don't know, but definitely retired because the theme is campers.
Yes.
Golfing. And crossword puzzles.
And husbands and wives home alone. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And learning to cook for the first time ever, mm-hmm, right? Because they've been on the planet for so long. They have not obviously cooked a meal in their life, mm-hmm, right?
But spending time really understanding.
Oh, understanding the actual science and, you know, is it need a little more acid, mm-hmm, or do you need a little more this?
What about the umami?
Yeah. And I'm not talking umami, you know? Mm-hmm. And so what it was just these little snippets of people having, like, doing stupid stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this woman dropping all of her golf balls.
She pulls her golf bag out of the trunk.
Yes.
And all these golf balls just fall out.
And if you didn't notice, she's being witnessed by two younger people.
Two younger people going, oh, Grammy.
Yeah. Or, Mrs. So-and-so.
Yeah.
She's a retired school teacher now. Well,
and she's wearing, and they don't show what she's totally wearing, but from the camera eye, she's wearing like clam diggers. So,
yes.
And short socks and shoes.
Yes.
And she has cankles.
Yes.
And she's like, you're like, oh, Lucy, you've been explaining to do
and
all
she goes,
the golf balls.
And the whole thing was, they say, you know, you're smart enough to know that this just happens and not to get worked up over it because it just happens. And
then the next one is like in almost in the same neighborhood is another older couple. They're returning home from having gone camping.
Right.
And he's trying to back the long camper
right.
into the driveway. And the older woman gets out and she's like moving this way and that way. No, no, this way. And turning it around. And doing
she's
this.
Has a smile on her face the entire time.
Yeah. Kind of a weird smile. Yeah.
And there are people watching them as well. Younger people are watching.
Yes.
I don't know if that's true, but that's my envision.
Yes.
And Nick, he can't back
and
this
he's,
thing up.
No, he's ready to jackknife it.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
And then in the next scene, we have this couple inside of a house, and she's, you know, just working a crossword puzzle at the kitchen table, and he's making some kind of food, maybe a sandwich, and it looks so good. And then he takes a big bite, and all the mustard falls onto his shirt. And he's like, oh, no.
Mr. Johnson.
You might need to get that Tide stain remover. I mean, you're just like.
You're a big baby now.
Yeah.
And this stuff just happens, you know. And all these little things. And it's so funny because you're just like, this happens to everybody, first of all. But to put it all together, it does make you feel that if you're getting older, that you become invalid. And that all your life is just a waste of time in between little accidents that happen. And oh, isn't that sweet? So-and-so dropped his balls.
Yeah. And here was what I think that why we're even talking about it was literally the day before.
Yeah.
I said I am sick and tired of having people make us feel irrelevant. Like, oh, you're just old now.
Yeah.
Oh, you're just that girl now.
Right.
Or, you know, like you're really irrelevant.
Right.
You know, if you can't, you know, if you haven't made it by now.
Yeah.
You know. And I just was like, I had it, and I was telling Julie about that.
Yeah, and you weren't going to take it anymore.
And yeah, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. And then this commercial comes up.
Yeah,
and I'm like, not, oh no,
not having it,
not today.
Oh, not today,
not today.
Exactly.
Don't do that.
Exactly.
And I'm going to learn my damn new phone, my Moto or whatever. I will learn it
for sure. Well, and what you realize is that who is doing the ads for this, you know?
Yeah. That's what I said to you. I go, I'd like to know the ad company they hired to do that because they got some splaining to do.
Yeah. Because why do you want to have, what is your, besides the fact that they're just harder to work, I think the reason why you no longer want a smartphone necessarily is because you have a tablet and that you use in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And that really... the phone can drop so easily, you know, and you want to rug it.
But not only that, I there's nobody I want to talk to.
That's exactly right.
I can't picture, like, I can't think of one thing that I want to talk to outside of my family.
Right.
And that I can do.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to receive calls. I don't know who's, I don't want to hear from JCPenney that they're having a towel sale.
Right.
I don't want to hear from Amazon that another package got delivered.
Right.
I don't really care.
No.
You know, I literally do not care if Donald Trump sent another tweet.
Right.
So I'm
technology overloaded.
I'm literally okay.
Yeah.
I'd rather actually meditate.
And see, that wouldn't, that way, why is that considered to be an old person's job? Is like
to meditate?
Well, no, like you're giving up your stuff because it's just too much of a hassle. But the truth is, you find it soul murdering.
It is.
It's not that it's too much of a hassle and you can't learn it.
Right.
It's soul murdering. Yeah. And every time I do it, every time I get another advertising, you know. So now instead of having to, you know, before, advertisers had to actually work to get my attention.
Mm-hmm.
Now they just beep my effing phone, you know, and say, "Hey, by the way, some people that you bought through on eBay, they got a sale going on. You know, check out your stuff." Or "Hey, Var," you know, I mean, all the apps that I have on my phone, you know, like, "Hey, bum bum bum, right here. You know, check this out. Check this out." You know, and some of them are really good deals, but to have, but they wouldn't be good deals, but they have to be continuously marketing to you.
And I don't know what. You know, I don't know what it represents, like, by doing that.
Yeah.
Is it 1% more a year that you make? Is it point something percent more a year that they make by doing that. And it must be worth it because you can do it. I mean, right. It's just, if you're not doing it, your competition's doing it.
That's exactly right. Well, I'll tell you, like, I will go, one of my favorite apps is McDonald's app.
That's the one we love. And every day we get coffee and it's usually free, or the iced tea that we get is free.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's like one of my favorite apps. And yesterday we went to get a coffee and iced tea, and neither one was free.
No.
But it says I can, because you like to get a large coffee.
Right.
But I can get a free medium McCafe.
Right.
I'm like, I feel like a hot chocolate today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I got a hot chocolate.
You got a little fun. That's a little bit of a fun treat.
Yeah. And so that was nice.
Yeah.
And so.
And that was that was fun.
It was fun, but certainly there are moments where I'm going, I don't need anything more. I'm iced teed out. I can just have water, you know, or whatever, right, you know. Right. So.
And it was kind of fun too. Like, oh, little Miss Julie, because you've decided this week that. And it's been fun for me. You made a decision maybe a week or two that you're going to be like extremely friendly to everybody.
Oh yes, I did.
And overly friendly. Now, I want people to know this, that in general, 99.9% of the time, you are extremely friendly.
Right.
And overly kind to people. But now that you've made the commitment, it's gone.
I've amped it up.
You've amped it up.
Well, also,
but it's been fun for me.
Yeah, so has it? Good.
It's been fun because now I just like let you do it.
Yeah.
I just let you
do it.
You go, girl.
Yeah.
You go, girl. And so you were like, good morning, miss. Yes, I can't wait for my hot chocolate.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, would you like it skim milk or whole milk? Today I'm feeling like whole milk.
Yeah.
Well, that's so wonderful. Yeah. And it was like, okay. And by the time we rolled up to the, this is your hot chocolate, ma'am, with whole milk. And you're like, thank you, sir. And you're very welcome. And you have a good day. No, sir, you have a good day. And happy holidays.
Well, you have
holidays.
Deepak Chopra to thank for this.
That's right. I guess
this nonsense. You have him to thank for this.
And tell me why.
Well, because we've been studying the spiritual laws of success, and, you know, and one is the you know, which we know, we've talked about this many times in our coaching and all this stuff.
But you tend to receive. But you tend to forget.
Yes.
As you know, your life starts, you know, building
eroding.
Up. Eroding. You got to go to the grocery store. Got to mail packages. Got to send this back.
Yeah.
Do this, exactly. Got to run to this. Yeah, exactly.
And it talked about being in the flow of the universe, and that the one big law is the law of giving and receiving. And to do so, start giving kindness to everybody that
loving
you meet.
Loving kindness, right.
Start giving loving kindness to everybody you meet. So
and
I start,
a blessing.
And a blessing. And so I started doing that.
Yes.
And I also talked about not judging and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, Mom, you said something, and I go, well, that was an okay sentence to say, except for that last part. That was a little bit of a judge.
Well, because I think I said something like, da-da-da-da-da, boy, that's crazy. And you're like, the first part was okay, Mother, but the crazy remark, that's crazy. No, that's a judgy. You got judgy.
And I was kind of being funny, but then we had to decide that we were not going to judge our judgy. Being judgy, because that's like fun.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be able to have a judgment and opinion about stuff.
Right.
Leave between us.
Right.
And anybody who's listening.
Right.
So that life can be a little bit fun.
A little bit lighter.
Like, okay, here's a complaint I have that I think, let's talk about Curb Your Enthusiasm, about this old guy who's very thin.
Oh, Larry David?
Yes.
Man, I'd like to know what happened to him.
Well, I have not found it that funny this season.
No.
And watch the last episode. So if you don't want to know what it's about,
love it.
I'm not going to tell you specifically, but I'm going to talk about the edges.
Are you talking about the season, you mean?
The season finale,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, was that the season finale that
yes.
I just saw?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
I can't think of the name of the guy that plays Hamilton. Miranda, John, you should look it up, but it's something Miranda.
Yeah.
But he's been in the whole season, basically. Larry David hired him to do a play that he wrote called Fatwa.
Yes. And I have no idea now why I brought him up.
Because he's mean.
Okay. So, but this show has been kind of overly sexualized because he's no longer married. Mm-hmm. And things that were, and like this last show, there was a chesty woman, and there was a big joke about this throughout the whole show. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of funny, but because of the culture, what we're going through right mm-hmm, now, mm-hmm. it was so inappropriate.
It was so awkward.
It was so awkward. And I'm like, yeah. this is gross. And all you old men looking at her that yeah, way feels yeah. even grosser.
Yeah.
And you need to just knock it off. And I thought to myself, I wonder if Larry David wrote this before all this stuff came up.
I'm sure.
Or was he kind of inspired by
yeah,
it?
Because yeah.
comedians are counter, you know, they yeah, just want to dig the knife intuitive. In yeah. and they... Did yeah. you say we?
Yes.
I love you so much. Yeah, we do stuff like that. That's what we comics do. Yes, you do.
Thank you.
You do.
Thank you.
And so I'm looking at things now and things that probably were made 6 months ago, a year mm-hmm. ago, and mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is coming out right
That's
now.
That's how
and
fast so, the culture changed,
I go, this
too.
Is so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I can't take it, you know? And that was part of it. I was like, yeah. ooh, this is uncomfortable. And then we were listening to Adam Carolla, and Joe Rogan mentioned this too. There's this new podcast out called Men We Like to F.
F-U.
Yeah, you know. But they just come out and say it. And it's like number 3 podcast, something like that.
Right. Right. It's just right above our podcast.
Yes. Like right above.
It's Life with
a Girlfriend. Really
it's print. Adam Carolla, Life with a Girlfriend, and Men We F.
Yeah. And I thought to myself, well, this is very peculiar that this is coming out because it's not about sex shaming. It's the antithesis of sex shaming. But I guess, and I've been wanting to hear it because I heard them interview, and so they talked a lot about their sexual, their sexual inappropriateness that has occurred to them, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and sometimes what they've done as well, but, you know, mm-hmm. and so forth. It was a very interesting conversation.
Mm-hmm. It was interesting to hear because we need to hear this as well.
Yeah, the smaller stuff. Yeah.
We need to hear it.
Exactly.
And we need to hear it from like these, I don't know how old they are, but they appear to be tough old broads, or tough medium-aged broads.
Right.
Because they've lived in New
York.
They're
not, I don't think.
Oh, they're not?
No, like, what do you mean? How old do you think they were?
I think they're probably, like, late 30s, early 40s.
Oh, I think they're much younger than that.
Okay. Check it out and see, would you? Because they, you know, they lived in New York. They're comics. Mm-hmm. They know how to deal with construction dudes. You know,
right.
like they talk like that.
Right. Which I think that has stopped a lot. Don't you think?
Construction dudes?
No, people like. I mean, because I've just gotten older, it stopped for me.
Yeah.
People ogling like. Woohoo! And whistling on the streets. I think that has calmed down a little bit.
Well, we don't get it here.
Right, because we're in the
But New York, that's sort of what they're...
still
yeah.
known for
yeah,
and so forth.
Exactly.
But it was interesting because at first I was just, ew, this is not the right time. But then they started talking about all the things that have gone down for them and,
yeah.
and a lot of stuff. And I go, oh, this is... I can see why they're actually number one. If they've been doing it for 4 years on this mm-hmm. podcast. Mm-hmm. But as for the culture... Women want a place to share what's really going on.
Yeah.
And
I appreciate it because I like hearing all the different nuances.
Right.
You know? And I remember, I just heard this week, I heard Steve Bannon talk about how come now they're fully backing Roy Moore.
Right.
Okay. And he said, we wanted to see the strength of his conviction in his denials.
Right. That was interesting.
So if he was not going to, they wanted to make sure he was not going to cave from his denials. I mean, that's right out of the Steve Bannon handbook.
Right.
You know, deny, deny, deny. Don't apologize. Just deny. And that's what he did. And so he got the money.
Yeah.
He got the money from the RNC.
And I love it how denying it makes it attracted to people.
Okay, yeah.
Because
he denies it.
To me, I thought, that's the reason why he shouldn't be up doing it. Because deny it means that you are saying all these women, mm-hmm. which there's lots of them, are lying.
Mm-hmm.
When at the age in their 50s and 60s would come out against you, which makes mm-hmm. no sense, dude.
Mm-hmm.
No one would do that.
Mm-hmm.
No one would do that.
Being a woman, you know, you would know.
Okay, so Mom, you want to talk about Dan Savage. I know you did.
You know I love me some good Dan Savage.
And you've been giving me, I know we're getting close to the end of the podcast.
Okay.
And you've said... you know, even give me the clue, like, you're not giving me time to talk about Dan Savage. So here, the floor is wide open for you to bring it up. It's wide open.
Oh, thank you, girl. Now you got me in the spot, just like with the joke, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm setting you up, and then I'm going to take it away. Yeah. But I thought the joke was funny.
No, it was good. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, what I do love me some Dan Savage. I get to hear him every Tuesday when he drops.
Yeah.
And I mean, not everything is, you know, A+, but
right.
I did hear a good, because these people call in from all over the world.
Right.
And then some of them go, "Hello, Governor." That's how they talk. And they have issues just like we do over here. But one of the questioners, the guy, called and said, I'm having some trouble, Dan. I'm in a relationship. I think he calls them cisgendered, which means straight, I believe.
Yes.
And I'm a male, like in my 30s. And I would like to be polyamorous, meaning I would like to have more than one relationship, meaning that they would probably like to live together, not just like, you know, have like somebody come in off the streets and then.
Right.
So, and he said, but my girlfriend, she likes to be monogamish. Is that right? Practice monogamy.
Right. Monogamous.
Monogamous. Yeah. Something like that.
Yes.
And so, you know, he's talking and he's, you know, giving a little bit of information. And about 5 minutes into the question, he says, and by the way, she's a sex worker.
Right.
And at that moment, my jaw drops.
Right.
I'm like, monogamous sex worker.
Yes.
I understand that it can be highly nuanced.
Right.
I get it.
Right.
But I'm not so sure that... I don't know what I'm sure of.
Well, it's interesting because I don't think Dan Savage even brought that up in the answer.
He didn't. He didn't address it.
It was just like, well, that's just her job.
Yeah, it's just like being a dental hygienist. Yes. You got to have your fingers in people's mouths.
And so, you know, and if, you know, you don't go, well, hey, you know, you can't be putting your fingers in my mouth because I'm a one-mouth person, you know.
That's right.
There's, when it comes to work, what you get paid for is different than what you do at home. And, you know, it's compartmentalized, right?
That's how Dan saw it.
Yeah, that's...
But I didn't necessarily see it that
way.
Well,
I had a couple of issues with it all that I thought were very interesting.
Yeah, and you didn't have any of the issues that I had with it.
No. Thank God, because we're different people.
Greg Arnaz!
And so when I...
I'm going to be saying that a lot.
I know, because I commented about this one time this week. I said...
Greg Arnaz!
We should be Life with the Greg Garden Girlfriends. Just because we were spending just a lot of time together this week.
That's
for
right.
whatever reason.
That's right.
Just ended up, we were really together.
A lot of time.
And at the end, we were just... like, might need a break.
At the end, we said, you said, Mom, can I join you while you watch Gaia.com?
Yeah.
And I went,
no.
I'd like some alone time.
I need some, please. And so, but here are my issues with this call. And are not issues, just some interesting nuances. I think that's what life's all about, nuances and people's intentions and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
One was, I don't think she wanted to be monogamish.
No.
She wanted to be monogamous.
Right.
Meaning, like, no, one guy, one girl for as long as the relationship is going.
Right, right.
And so she didn't consider being a sex worker any, like, a negative factor on that.
Right.
So the only way he was going to get variety is if he became a sex worker. And right. I wondered how she would have liked that.
Oh.
I'm just curious.
Right.
You know. Now, the second part is that I really never understood the nuance between being polyamorous and being a swinger in some sense, or liking to have
having a unicorn.
Yes, because polyamorous really means that you want to have a relationship with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have multiple relationships.
Right.
That you want to, you know, go out on dates and, you know.
No, I'm not sure. I think polyamorous is like, let's say you have a 3-bedroom apartment and
so like sister wives without the wives.
Yeah. Sister girlfriends.
And is it? And I remember this one time I saw
this. I don't
know
why I said the 3-bedroom apartment, because there's no analogy in there at all.
I know. They're more like a 1-bedroom apartment for the three of you.
Exactly.
That's what you really
That's
want.
That's what I wanted to say. It was a Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young song.
And so because I can only go with the sister wives because I've seen that show.
Yeah.
A at least a half a dozen times. Okay, so I can see the ins and outs. And it always looks like the first one, the first sister wife, gets their feelings a little bit hurt when they bring a second one in.
Yeah.
And also, just commenting on the sister wives, you know, they all get older, but the new wife always is the same age as they once were. Like, mm-hmm. the new wife is always a little bit younger. Mm-hmm. So it always just looks a little different to me. Mm-hmm. And but now that's separate than what we're, what's going on here. Because the guy was very thoughtful in his conversation. Mm-hmm. He couldn't imagine, you know, living his life without being Polly. He goes, I think that's who I really am. And then Dan Savage goes, now I'm going to make some people who are Polly really upset with me. Because I don't think you're born Polly. I think you're just inclined to be Polly.
Mm.
I don't think you're born monogamous. I think you're inclined to be monogamous. Mm-hmm. It's not like being gay or straight.
You're not born that way.
You're not born that way. And he goes, people who are Polly are going to write me and be like, no, you're totally wrong. And so, and see, the truth is, Mom, if you didn't know me or if you didn't know my behavior, would you recognize that to the outside world, I may present myself as like this one man, woman, kind of prudish, but inside I'm a major ass slut. You wouldn't know that of me, would you? But because I also am born with a like, you know, major germ problem, mm-hmm. like I think germs are everywhere, mm-hmm. and that compulsion outweighs anything else, mm-hmm. that kind of keeps a level on me, you right, know, like keeps right. a lid on my, that on my right. slut part.
Right.
I'm not slut shaming because no. I, even though I do not present to the world that part of me, right. it is inside of me.
They say the best way to be is like to think liberally but act conservatively.
That's probably exactly what I am.
Right.
And I don't mean that in political.
Right.
But probably in political aspects, that's probably what I am as well.
Right.
You know, and so I thought that was interesting that poly means something different mm-hmm. than just having multiple partners. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you really want something. And I remember there's another
you're
level.
In relationship with these
yeah,
people.
Another relationship.
Right.
And does that mean that the woman's also in a relationship with that poly as well? Like, are you bringing a third person in together?
Mm-hmm.
Or, hey, I have you are my main and then I'm bringing another person in. And here's where it gets kind of interesting. And he brought this up.
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman caller brought it up. He brought in the fact that, you know, him and his girlfriend live in the same house. They financially support each other,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they are, quote unquote, a real, true definition couple.
Mm-hmm.
They're in it together. You know, they're not just halfsies on the rent, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. or whatever. They're mm-hmm. a real couple. So how do you not just bring in the dynamics of like, hey, a one night stand, let's have a little fun, mm-hmm. you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you're bringing in a poly relationship, which is, do we split the budget three ways?
Yeah, exactly.
Are we saving for vacation together?
Right.
What is all this about? Am I having to buy all of her nieces and nephews presents? Because in
that's
this relationship,
wild. Yeah.
I mean, like, because in your relationship with Dad, you take care of the Christmas cards and Christmas presents forever.
Right.
So if Dad goes, hey, honey, we've been married a long time. What do you think about Polly? And you go, okay, well, I'm no longer writing your brother a Christmas card. She can do that.
Right.
And she can wash your underwear too as well. She's at it. He goes, okay. I mean, if we're going to go there, if we're going to start splitting everything, I was splitting up my.
And I think that's kind of like why on the sister wives, like the oldest one, I think when she started getting some, she went, yeah, you know what? I don't need to wash his underwear anymore.
Yeah.
I don't need to bake him, you know, waffles
and
chicken,
chicken. Yeah, I wonder at some point the one wife who is just ignore the phone.
Mm.
Poor timing on the phone thing. Just ignore it. It's probably that guy right now asking us, what do you think about the poly here? Like, you know what? Too much hassle, dude. Too much hassle. Just ask your girlfriend / sex worker if she'll just dress up for you. You know? Or like, have you watched, you know, the movie Split, you know? Have her become a second personality once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, a yeah, fantasy can take these things pretty far, but deep down, I think there's a lot more hassle than benefit to all this stuff.
Yeah.
A lot more hassle.
Yeah.
I mean, you've heard, right? There is, you know, there's, you know, resistant gonorrhea out there. Resistant to what? I don't know, but it's resistant. And so, you know, that doesn't sound good.
I am what I am. I'm a resistor.
I'm not in the flow.
3 days of rage.
I have no idea what I'm talking about.
I don't either.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's just some stuff I just don't think is worth the hassle, but it's kind of fun to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's fun to talk about for an hour.
Yeah.
But the hassle and having to have somebody else come into your house. And
right.
Even if it's just for an evening.
Right. Or you're saving for a new car, and all of a sudden this guy wants to bring another woman in, and they want to go on a date. Mm-hmm. And not just go out to, you know, pizza. They want steak and a salad, and probably a bottle of wine. Mm. And you're not invited. Mm. Well, you know what? F you. You know, the austerity is going all the way around, people. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. This is, you're on that kind of territory now.
That's right. Like, I think those are the questions that will eventually come up.
Yeah.
But isn't it sweet to just have this openly? We all love each other. It's great. Let's bring another person in. Mm-hmm. We've got enough love for everybody to go around. Mm-hmm. That's typically when you, like, say, you know, buy a puppy, you know, take care of a dog that's in a shelter, you know. Do that. Adults are messed up, come with a lot of baggage.
Yeah, didn't you always think that, like, when you got to be an adult, you'd, like, have it all straightened out?
Yes, and I'm so wrong about that.
Yeah.
The older I get, and in this world where technology changes life every 26 months, my brain is up, you know. I'll be lucky if I have my phone, you know, my new phone plugged in by then. And understand the ins and outs of that new phone thing.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I'm not happy about it all.
Consumer cellular.
Yes, consumer cellular. Not happy about
jitterbug, jitterbug. Yeah, jitterbug. That's what I want.
So, girlfriend, let's push through this end of this year. Let's have a good time. Let's celebrate my birthday in style. And, let's have a good week.
Because tonight we high class.
We high class. We're in our glasses inside. Which, you know, come on. That's already been done.
It's the shades. You wear your shades inside.
Yeah. And the other guy wore his sunglasses at night.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's two forks, two knives, and Bud Light in a glass.
That's right.
Tonight we high class.
Woohoo. So, girlfriend, how was the show?
It was great.
It was great.